Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'd like to talk about attitudes this morning, maybe a little bit. You know, our attitude has a lot to do with how people look at us. It has a lot to do with our relationship with God. Attitudes are extremely, a positive attitude is extremely important. So what kind of attitude do we have? Along with that, I'd like to just read a portion here out of Genesis 8:22. Says here, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That's Genesis 8:22. I guess I'll read a page out of Beside the Still Waters this morning, and just kind of glean a few things out of there. About a positive attitude, about a hope. In many areas, the winter of 2013-2014 was longer and more severe than normal, and it was accompanied by much complaining about the weather. It seemed like an expected normal to say something negative about the weather. One man who frequently grumbled about the cold and snowy weather was asked on an early spring day, did you notice that the weather is warming up? Okay, there is a positive note there in that phrase. But what did the man reply with? He said, yes, but it is still not warm enough. Okay, always being negative. Is that who we are? Are we always just finding the negative part points out of every situation? Or, you know, what would have been a better for this man who is who frequently grumbled about the cold and snowy weather? And when somebody asked him, did you notice the weather is warming up? And then if he would have said, oh, yes, yes, oh, it's so beautiful out there today. And it's just, oh, God has made this day. And he is so good. And what a difference. What a difference between a negative and a positive response to a question. And so we have that opportunity all through life. We have the opportunity of responding negatively, or we have the opportunity of responding positive. Now, when we respond, the words that come out of our mouth are negative, does that affect others? Absolutely. You know? Or when they are positive, how does it affect the people around us? Let's just think. How? When you meet a jolly person, when you meet a person that's always positive, what does it do to you? You know, you meet a person and he says, good morning. It's a beautiful morning this morning. Look at the beautiful sunrise. Look at the beautiful blue skies this morning. Wow. Or what if you would meet a person that would say, you would say good morning to the person. It would go a little bit like this. Good morning. And the person would respond with a, what? Good morning. Not a good morning to me. I was so sleepy and so grouchy this morning when I got up out of bed. Oh, my. I'm still tired. You know, I just didn't get my rest last night. I woke up I don't know how many times, and it was just, what's good about this morning? You know, what a difference it makes. What a difference it makes when we meet people with a positive attitude or a negative attitude. So how many of you would love to meet people with a positive attitude? You know, it makes a difference in our lives. If we are always around people with a negative attitude, it tends to rub off on us. But if we're always around people with a positive attitude, that rubs off too, and it's a much better experience. And, you know, in Christ Jesus, if we know that our sins are forgiven, if we know that we're right with God, if we know that we're walking with God, I mean, our attitude should be that of a positive one. It should be when somebody greets us during the day, you know, we can say, oh, even though it's a dreary day, maybe, and we say, and the other person greets us and says, oh, what a dreary day today. And we respond with a positive attitude and say, yeah, I know, but God, we need these dreary days because, you know, it takes sunshine and it takes rain to make things grow. And that's the way I am, too, you know. It takes trials and tribulations in my life. And I know those are good for me. You know, Paul, when he went through trials and tribulations, he said he glories in them, you know, because he knew that those were the things that strengthened his life. When everything was good, when everything went well, and everything was a beautiful sunshine day, you know, that tends to make growth too, but you know, we need those trials. We need those times when we really have to dig deep and really have to dig in to search and to see what God is trying to tell us. And, you know, both we can have a positive response to negative attitudes. And it's up to us. But, you know, the more that we are in Christ Jesus, the more faith that we have, the more, I was speaking to someone yesterday, and, you know, he's going through some challenges in his life, oh, sounds like I have some. That's how I'm this morning. I do have a little cold, and not bad. God will see me through. But this man yesterday was talking about, you know, he was not complaining about his challenges, but he was just saying that, you know, he's really searching his heart to make sure that everything is clear. And then he said that, you know, with the grace of God, not sure the exact words, but with the grace of God, we can sit back and relax. With the Holy Spirit in our life, oh, here's what he said. He said, it's not hard work to be a vessel. What does God want us to be? God simply wants us to be a vessel that he can use, a vessel that the Holy Spirit can work through. You know, it's not this fretting and worrying about how things are going to turn out. But if we just allow God to use our body, our mouth, as a vessel for him to work through, oh, it can be so beautiful. It can be so beautiful. And no, it doesn't take a lot of effort on our part, but the Holy Spirit just moves in our heart and life and makes us what we ought to be. But it takes a surrendered life. We need to be surrendered. We need to lay down our own flesh. We need to lay down our own selfishness, our own ideas sometimes, and allow God to work through us. You know, God, if we think we have everything in place, everything in order, and we think we have no needs, you know, that's a proud heart, and God cannot use a proud heart. But when we realize that we are a needy person, and we have many needs, and we acknowledge our needs, then God can use us. We are open and transparent. We're not hiding anything. You know, that's the Bible says in James, it says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. And that's exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about being open and transparent. And he's talking about not hiding things, deception and things like that. It's wrong. It doesn't work godliness in our life. But if we are quick to confess, quick to say, oh, I'm sorry, I was wrong there. Quick to confess. Oh, that's what God wants. He can use a vessel like that. So anyway, let's get back here. I was going to read this whole article here in Beside the Still Waters. I'm not sure. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I don't need to. But anyway, the man replied, yes, but it's still not warm enough. Why all the complaining? Could it be that people don't have the hope of spring in their hearts? A long, hard winter does affect us. But when signs of spring begin to appear, we say, I can just feel it in the air. We can be positive about it instead of saying, well, it's just not warm enough yet. Complaining about the weather is not a healthy exercise. You know, that's one of the things. The weather is one thing that many people use when they greet one another. They say, it's a beautiful day today. Or, oh, it's really rainy today. You know, often that's a conversation piece. But how do we respond to it? Do we respond and say, oh, yeah, I know, it's been so dreary for the last week, or do we respond and say, oh, yeah, but God has made this day, and I know it's good for me. Complaining about the weather is not a healthy exercise. When we do this, we are actually complaining about the works of God. He created the weather and controls its pattern according to his will. Our response to what we experience is a conscious choice that we make every day. It reveals what manner of heart is within us. So what manner of heart is within you? Does the hopes of spring burst forth from your life? Are your steps springing with hope? Hope bears an anticipation of things to come in the future. While we are living today in the reality of the unreachable and distant, the Christian's hope is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil. That's Hebrews 6:19. If you don't have the hope, then read. Study that chapter there. And the Christian's hope is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And then in 1 John, there's a hope. 1 John, read 1 John, meditate on it, study it. Because he says there, the reason that he is writing this book is to show us that we can know. We can know that we are born again. Set a new standard. Express gratitude today for something, even if it may seem vague and far off. In Hebrews 13:15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Grumbling never springs from a grateful heart. You know, when I was little, I had an aunt, she died a long time ago. She died while she was young. But while she was alive, she taught me a little phrase that has stuck with me all these days. And it says, be honest, be faithful, kind-hearted and true, be obedient, don't grumble, and God will bless you. Isn't that a beautiful little phrase? Be honest, be faithful, kind-hearted and true, be obedient, don't grumble, and God will bless you. So anyway, this morning, I hope you enjoyed the lesson this morning. God bless you and have a wonderful day. And I'd just like to leave my phone number. We love to hear from people. We love to hear testimonies. And maybe you have a question. And maybe you have a comment. Or maybe you just want to be a blessing. Give me a call. 717-656-9576. And remember to have a positive attitude today. God bless you all. Have a great and wonderful day.